Get a load of this.
This is only2degrees.com.
It is all that it should be and more.
After this, your life will never be the same.
Of course, besides doing the reading for the obvious, it's important for me to spread spirituality, James.
Yes.
That's what I was telling Lisa before we came here. It's beside telling people that there is a continuation of the soul after death, of course. It's go to so many other areas.
Exactly.
Where you have to trust your doubt, yes. Believe in spirituality, yeah. Believe in the spirit world, in the force that we yeah. call God, of course.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's go beyond just... my dad is still alive.
Right.
There is so much deeper thing to it.
She's going to make me cry.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Because that's exactly what I'm all about. You know, it is one thing you've done, you know, we do is survival evidence, and that's one level of it. But then once we have that and we realize that, and most people, I think now the public is very open to that, okay, there is life after death. We accept that. Now what's the next step?
Absolutely.
And the next step is how to live spiritually every single day. Be mindful every day. And I talk about that in my lecture tonight. I'll be talking about that as
lovely.
Well. But one thing I want to go back about, Mickey, what you talked about, Lisa's her being Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. I don't know if you knew this, but the Star of David.
Yes.
The last point on the star, do you know what it means?
Yes, I do.
What does it
yes.
mean?
Isn't that mean like concrete of what you believe? Like
no, the last star, the five-pointed star, the six-pointed star, the last ray means
yeah.
intuition.
Oh, lovely.
Intuition.
Lovely.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes. That is really
yeah.
interesting.
Is. Interesting.
But you know, born Jewish, I mean, of course, I was not an Orthodox, but nonetheless, I was Jewish. It's easy for me in my spiritual teaching now to teach people religious is wonderful. I mean, you can enjoy religious, have holiday with your family, but beware of the rules and regulation that I truly believe people over eon of years got into. Because being Jewish, for example, just one example that I like to tell people, that spirits that kill themselves, the Jewish bury them outside the cemetery. Mm. And of course, how painful it is for the family.
Mm.
Now, connecting to spirits that come through in a reading, they get the more love. More attention. So that's just one example. That's why we need spirituality. That's
yeah, and religion, with religion, it seems that, you know, I believe that all religions have a bit of the truth, but not any one religion is all the truth.
Sure.
And people say, what's your religion? I say, my religion is really love. And I think that,
oh,
and I was raised in a Catholic background, but my great grandparents were both Jewish, okay? And then, so it doesn't matter because I think that every religion is little bits and pieces of truth.
Sure.
And I think that they're wonderful disciplines. To get us onto our spiritual path. And I also think it's a lot of it has to do with our past lives. You know, if I had many lives as a Catholic, maybe come back, that feels comfortable to me, or I can learn something from it, or many times as a Jew, or many
That's
times
right.
as a Buddhist, or many, you know, each of these different disciplines you teach, the soul learns
That's
and the soul
right.
evolves.
The soul actually, James, and correct me if I'm wrong from your experience, prefer to experience different
many
sects,
different things.
Different religions,
yes.
different... My father, for example, enjoyed coming incarnate as a Jewish.
That's right.
But it's not because he's the chosen man. I mean, I love
right.
my dad, God
right.
bless him. But he just, but he chose, I mean, we would do that because, of course, our task is to grow through
That's right, to grow, to experience. And
correct.
The only way you're going to experience something is to go through it. So
that's right.
That's the only way you'll learn
that's
things,
right.
is to experience being a female, being a male, whatever, you know, being this race, being that race.
Sure.
Living in this country, living in that country. I mean, the most diverse you are,
right.
the more expansiveness you are.
And isn't that bring us to the next topic of not be judgmental of anyone?
Yes.
Because we've been in some other life, what we being judgmental
you
of
bet.
Other.
You bet.
So that's
when you're judgment, when you sit in judgment, you sit in fear. And I think when you sit in judgment, you can't see truth.
That's because right.
Because I think you get stuck in that judgment. And I always tell people, you know, why would we judge? Well, I think we judge because if we judge somebody else, that means that they're less than we are. And we're in the power position.
Correct.
And we feel much more secure. And that's judgment. We have power over that person. If they're less than we are, that's what we're judging.
That's
we
right.
have the control and the power. And it's all fear-based.
Of
it's all
course.
Fear-based. The only reason we would do that is fear-based, our
of
projection
course.
Of our own fear.
Of course.
So, yeah, judgment, if you sit in judgment, you can't be in love. You know, you can't be because
that's
you're stuck
right.
down here and love is the highest vibration.
That's
so,
right.
And, you know, I want to say one thing, which is very, very important.
Yes.
I always use the analogy of a snowflake because each snowflake is unique and different. And all different people, God, simply, what about God? You know, they're so caught up in the religions. You know, God has created human beings in all different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of God is the diversity. That's the beauty of
That's
God,
right.
the diversity of different types of races
it's
and
lovely.
People and creeds. That's what God's all about, these many beautiful things. Not just one limited way.
That's right.
It's like people say, they own God in their religion. I'm like, Huh? I don't get that. Why are you limiting God? You know, you can't
and
limit
of course,
God.
I don't know about Catholic, but I know the Jewish belief. I raised to be thinking God is a male with a cane and a beard.
And the white beard, yes, I know.
Yes, so
and
I don't
angels
know about,
with wings. And
that's
the whole
right.
Thing.
Which, yeah. So, of course, God is in everything and everyone. That beautiful force.
It is.
That they, of course.
And God is love, and love is God. And every single person is love.
That's
every single person
right.
is God. That's. I mean, I'd teach that tonight, too, but, I mean,
that's lovely.
2 hours at a casino, you can't really get that through to some people. Sometimes
right.
at a casino, you have to just get the basic stuff like you're a spirit. That's all you get.
I just
get.
Want to know, which do I play roulette? What numbers do I play? That's all I want to know.
Whenever I do these casinos, I always say to the audiences, because you never know, people often ask me, why do you do these casinos? And the answer is because they're some of the greatest audiences. They really are. They're very, very open. They're very, very... They're very, very appreciative that someone like me would come to this type of an event at a casino.
Oh.
And I've had the greatest audiences.
Really?
I've had the greatest experiences.
Yeah.
And I have a good sense of humor. I don't know if you noticed, but I have some of a sense of humor. So
it's all right.
It's all right. You know? So I play with people when they get too serious. And the first thing I say to people is, I say, if you stay with me, I'll give you the numbers at the end of the show.
And then nobody leaves.
Nobody leaves. Of course not.
That's really lovely.
Yeah. So that works out. Yeah. And they're very appreciative. And I do this all over the country. And they just,
lovely.
Yeah. And it teaches them in a situation where they would never really find someone like a medium in a casino, for God's sake. So that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
I like to go to all different types of audiences. Even like the TV shows and the Ghost Whisperer I'm doing now. I mean, that it's very interesting how...
That's my favorite show.
That's your favorite show?
Favorite show.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
There you go. I wish I could say the same.
I'm not kidding. I
actually,
love
like,
that show.
HGTV myself. But.
But I've always liked shows like that. I remember back years ago, they had shows that took you back, you know, in what happened when people died.
Yes.
I don't remember who did that one, if that was a Sylvia Brown or Doreen Virtue.
Maybe Lisa
or,
Williams.
I don't know. But
yeah.
But just ever since I was real little, I've always been fascinated with the spirit world.
Oh.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny, Lisa. You know, I'm not older than you are, but
I doubt that.
Oh well, I'll tell you,
it's good. It's not television.
There you go. But when I first started doing this, like '97, my book came out in '97, my first book.
Wow.
You know, when I would try to push that book or like publish the book, I went to New York and I went to all the big publishers. And the book was called Talking to Heaven, and they would say, mm-hmm. Oh, we don't want that book. You know, no one wants to know about life after death. It's too morbid. No one would ever buy the book like that. And I said, yes, it's true because, you know, we as human beings share two common experiences. The first is birth, and we've been through that, so we know a little bit about that. And the other is death, and people want to know what happens when you die. And it's so funny, but no one wanted to publish it except Penguin Books or Dutton Books at the time. And they published it, and it did so well. Number one, New York Times bestseller. Since that book, then you had a lot of other books. Then you had other people come out. John Edwards was after that, and Sylvia Brown came out.
So you really, James, opened the channel for us later mediums.
I was a pioneer.
A pioneer.
Yeah, I was a pioneer with this work.
Right.
And when I did it, people thought, you know, I was crazy. And
that's
then they go,
right.
Ooh. But now you look at it, and it's part of the mainstream.
Sure it is.
It shows like Ghost Whisperer now, movies and everything. Now everybody has experiences. It's okay to have experiences.
That's right.
And
yeah.
I think part of the reason I came back this time to do this work was to open the door for the consciousness for
and
more people.
You know, I've been told, actually, by the spirit world, that human race have to make a choice. We're going to no good.
That's right.
People ask me, James, what's going to happen 2012? I said it's going to be way before if we're not going to wake up. So there are more and more medium spiritual teacher babies that coming out, that guys that are trying to tip the positive for human race because we're doing no good.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly. 2012, people ask me that as well. Tonight, they'll probably ask me about that. Maybe, or they might ask, I don't know, what are the numbers?
I don't know. Yeah. Are you going to give me a list of questions to ask you in case no one says anything? I'll be like, excuse me, Mr. Von
Braun. Oh, no, they'll ask. Believe me, they'll ask.
Yes,
no, but 2012, I think, is also, it's obviously energetic. It's a vibrational frequency that, you know, the vibration of the planet is speeding up so quickly.
Wow.
Right now, it's speeding up. And what does that mean to people
that
are listening?
That my hair goes grayer faster?
Well, what it means is this. It means, in a simplistic kind of way, because I'm very simple, you know, energy are basically molecules that vibrate or move at a certain rate of speed. And the physical vibration, the three-dimensional world, it moves very slowly. Yeah, but we are speeding up in time. We know as time in the physical. So they gave 2012 the Mayan calendar, but the vibration, that molecules on the third dimension, is speeding up so quickly, you're getting closer and closer to the other dimensions. So if you have a thought, it manifests like that. So if you think about something that day or the next day, it's going to happen.
Hmm.
And I've checked this out for the past 2 months.
Yes.
And I just did today by the pool sitting outside there with my friend. We talk about one thing yesterday, and the next day it happens. Yeah, and this amazing. Morning we talked about Disneyland, and someone mentioned Disneyland 2 hours later.
Yes.
And some bizarre things. So it's happening more and more.
So it can be good news, but bad news as well.
It's just, it is what it is. I don't judge it.
Is this like
Is
this based on then like the law of attraction?
It's energy. It's a law of attraction.
Wow.
And it's speeding up so quickly. It's a vibration. So thoughts manifest. You know, thoughts will manifest. What you think, you create with your thoughts. So people have got to be more careful with what they're thinking.
That's right.
Because they'll get exactly what they're thinking.
They think
illness, they're going to have illness.
Right.
They think health, they're going to have health.
That's what I mentioned. So use it for good.
Use it for good.
For positivity.
But it's also being in control of what you create.
Sure.
Because, as we sit here, we create on some level. We're creating right now. We might not be aware of it on a conscious level.
Sure.
We're creating right now with our thoughts.
That's right.
So it's just to live yourself in a mindful type of way.
That's right.
I'll talk about this tonight, too.
Well, this is fascinating.
It is. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
But it's true. 2012, it's a big, people wonder, is it going to stop time? Not time as we know it, per se. Not the earth won't stop still.
That's right.
Is there a good book out there that you could buy? Because I go to the bookstore, and I'm looking for all my different angel books I read.
Oh.
And there's this huge thing on 2012, and there's all these books, and they're all super thick. And I'm thinking, I don't know which one to buy.
Yeah. I don't know he has one on 2012, but Greg Braden is a wonderful author, and he talks a lot about science and spirituality, and it's really science meeting spirituality. And he's a very good author. I would look into his books. There's a last one he did on destiny, and he's very good.
I think
more and more books are going to come out about it. Obviously, unfortunately, Hollywood got a hold of it, and they made it the end of the world. They had a movie which bombed,
because
it gave out the wrong message.
Right.
Then let me just go back to something, and I'm sorry to talk so quickly, but
I know
we have a limited amount of time.
No, we can just keep talking. This is going to take up the whole show. I don't care. I'm the boss.
But the thing about the Ghost Whisperer we talked about earlier, you love that song, and I love that show. And I love the show in that I helped create that show. I mean, it was because of me the show was on the air.
Wow.
And the thing for me was, as a teacher, is to get out the message to people about life after death, about how to be living a spiritual life in a physical world. And I loved it, but it bothered me for a while because once the producers got a hold of it and it became very successful, they robbed it from me, they took it from me, and they threw in a lot of garbage.
Okay, let me tell you when it got goofy. This is when it got...
The body experience, when David died.
Yes.
When Jim dies,
and then
the other guy
on the other body, and really, it's supposedly that other guy's body right now, but we're seeing Jim's face. At that point, I stopped watching it for a while. I was so angry.
So did I.
Because they really took something that was, like you said, very good, opening up the spirit mind, just kind of letting people go, this is cool, and turned it into something super goofy.
Well, it's irresponsible.
It was irresponsible.
It's disrespectful to the truth,
exactly.
And you cannot influence James?
I went to the producer, the executive producer, who I'm not the I'm a co-executive producer because I didn't have the background, per se. So it's all Hollywood politics.
You're
so,
too nice for this industry.
Yeah, it's true. Very true.
I'm not saying.
No, it's true.
Your team said too nice for the
it's
industry.
It's true. It's true. I know I've been getting bombarded left and right.
That's right.
And I went to the executive producer and I said, what did you do with that guy, Jim left his body? I said, that's an out-of-body experience. It's an out-of-body experience? I think it was the out-of-body experience. No, I'm sorry. It's called a walk-in.
A walk-in.
So Ruth Montgomery wrote a book years ago about walking through the walk-ins.
Yeah.
And there are spirits, just like in the show, where they will take over a body at the point of one spirit goes out, one comes in, that's an agreement before they come back into this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called a walk-in, and it's a very well-known term. It's like, so that's what the term is.
Do you believe in that?
Definitely, without a doubt.
Okay,
without a doubt.
Okay.
So what happened was I said to this producer, I said, what? It's called a walk-in. He goes, no, we called it, they had some other name for it on the show.
Oh.
Some would jump in or sit in or something. I was like, what'd you call it? It's called a walk-in. He goes, well, no. I said, well, that's a term. I mean, that is the actual term.
You're going to do it. Call it what
call
it is.
Call it the right thing. You don't do a legal show and have the judge called something else.
Right.
I mean, you called the judge a judge.
Probably because it was not edgy enough. So they needed a better.
Well, they're ignorant. They're ignorant of the truth. So, and I said to him, why would you do that? Why would you not tell the truth? He goes, well, just tell your fans, I swear this is true.
Oh,
just tell your fans that the producers did it their way.
Oh.
So that's typical of Hollywood.
Well, they lost a lot of viewers.
But it's hard for you, James, to mix the world of spirituality with
Hollywood.
Because it's me how to mix what I do with money. It does. It's money. It's still awkward to me. It really is. It took me a while to be comfortable to ask money for readings.
Oh, you have to.
I'll be in the street, and I still...
No, money's
no,
energy.
I'm just saying, it is.
Money's not a bad thing.
It took me a while, though, dear.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine Hollywood...
Isn't she sweet?
She's adorable.
Yeah.
Hollywood with spirituality.
Oh, it's like a train wreck. That's a train wreck. I had a TV show called
but
Beyond.
But you invented the show.
I invented the show. Oh, I never got the credit for it. Yeah. Nor did I get the money
for
it.
You got the credit where it's... Whoa.
But Spirit said, and this is interesting, because I was very upset, because I'm a man of very high integrity. Yes, if you don't know that, I'll tell you.
Yes.
So
we'll actually believe you.
Yeah, there you go. Aww. There you go. So what happened was, I was so upset the way they were doing that, and how they were, you know, because to me, as a teacher, you're giving this out, you're influencing millions of minds
wow.
who are watching this television show. Sure. And a lot of people then come to me and say, is that the way it is? I'm like, no, it isn't. So I wrote my book, Ghosts Among Us, because mm-hmm. I wanted people to get the truth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was so upset for years about it. And Spirit said to me, they said, James, stop.
Oh.
I said, why? They said, you have to understand the reason this is happening. Look at the bigger picture. And I said, the bigger picture. They said, look at the bigger picture. Stop limiting yourself. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, the bigger picture, people who are watching this television show are not just looking about the hauntings, the scary parts. They're questioning life after death.
Lovely.
That's the bigger question. Yes. And that's the reason why the show is on the air. That's our reason for putting it on.
Oh, lovely.
So when I look at it from that perspective, from a higher perspective.
Oh, lovely.
So it makes sense. So yeah. I just put it out there and whatever happens. But it's a tough thing to be in the devil's workshop at Hollywood.
That's
because,
right.
Boy, to influence things spiritual-wise with Hollywood, it's like a train wreck. And I've done it on my own TV show I had, Beyond, and it was tough because here I am doing readings every day, you know, for four shows a day with these producers who have no idea about energy, how energy works, how you have to, you know, you get exhausted if you do too much, you get emotionally exhausted, and you got to protect the instrument. Mm. They don't understand any of that.
No.
And like in the middle of a reading in the audience, and they'll say, okay, stop him, cut him. But you just can't cut spirit like that. Is that how it works?
So it's money for them.
Oh, it's total money. It's all about money for them. Oh, it's all God, about money James. For them. Ratings, and
but
ratings equals money.
That can affect your energy. So be careful.
You have to do is when you do this type of work and then in the television field, you got to go to the work. You got to be as pure as you can regarding the work, regarding as far as you're doing a reading for this person in the audience, you're helping to change their life. You're helping to bring them truth.
Lovely.
And that's where you
got
to go to.
Got
and
it.
That's where you
got
to put your perceptions towards.
That's right.
You can't worry about the TV aspect, the physical thing. You do your thing and you got to protect yourself. You know, there was one time in a show I did, so interesting. This lady, the executive producer of the show, the first day I was in the show, I went to her office and I said, there's a little girl running around here.
Oh.
And she goes, oh my, I said, did you lose a daughter? She goes, yes. Oh. I said, were the twins? She goes, yes, the son survived, the daughter didn't. I said, well, she's right here. And I gave her a name. And you think that would have changed this woman's idea, her mind, or about this work.
Mm, absolutely.
Didn't change it at all.
Wow.
Didn't change
it
at all.
Did she not care? Did she not believe you?
She didn't get it. She just didn't. I don't think she wanted to believe it. I think she was still scared of it, still fearful.
That's
and a lot of people are fearful of the unknown.
Very fearful.
Of the unknown.
A lot of people have beliefs from childhood.
That's
religion
right.
is a blockage, fear, doubt.
That's
it's
right.
It's such a shame. And it's frustrating as the medium to tell them they're right there.
That's right.
Wake up, no?
Yeah, it's true.
But it is. I mean, you want to do it with love.
No,
and
it's true.
I've always been told you change as many as you can. And the one that can't, then, you know.
You know, plant the seeds.
You plant the seeds.
You plant the seeds,
exactly.
And hopefully they'll grow and
correct.
Germinate. And that's what you can do.
That's
like,
right.
Today I'll be doing a show here at the Apollo Casino. And, and
he's cute.
At 7:30 p.m. And most of the people, a lot of people, well, I never know if I'm sure to show, who's going to be brand new. I call them virgins, you'll see. It's funny.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing with that. And what happens, it's new to some. A lot of these people are brand new, and they don't know why they're here. Or the husband's, you know, dragged by the wife sometimes. The wife's dragged by the husband sometimes. And they get it. And you never know what's going to happen as far as tonight, the experience.
Yeah.
Because just to be in the energy of it all, it'll affect them in some way.
That's right. And didn't you find, James, that the spirit world quite magical? And if they see a skeptic, you get more help.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and details
yeah.
are
oh,
more
yeah, yeah,
funny.
Yeah.
You know, I
oh,
tell
yeah.
you something, honey,
yes.
after reading,
yes.
that the skeptics come in and they sit like that, their legs all up, they don't believe. And then slowly you can see they're getting close
right,
to
right,
you.
Right, right,
because
right.
they're quite magical. Obviously, the skeptics, they want to reach to them
yeah.
more. So it's
because
really
they're the
lovely.
Most afraid. They're the most
That's
fearful.
Right.
That's why they're skeptical. They're the most fearful. They live in fear.
Sure.
You know?
Which is a shame.
Now, have you ever experienced your past lives?
Yes.
And
yes.
did you do that through hypnotherapy or through your spirit?
I worked with Dr. Brian Weiss, who wrote a book called Many Lives, Many Masters. And we used to do tours together around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the first tour we did was probably about 14, 15 years ago. And we did a cruise to Mexico. And I sat in one of his sessions, and I didn't think anything was going to happen to myself. And he just said to anybody in hypnotherapy who was, you know, regressing people,
right?
And just ask a question. So, and you can ask it to yourself. So I asked it to myself in my own mind, and I just asked the question, why am I here doing this work as a medium? Why would I put myself out there to the public and these millions of people? And why am I doing TV? I'm very shy. I don't know if you could tell that, but I'm very shy.
Mickey told me that on the way here that I am very shy.
Told you about me, about you a little bit.
Yeah, I'm very shy.
Lovely, yeah.
Yeah, very shy. But
when sensitive.
I'm, sensitive. But with the public, you know, like tonight on stage, I'll be fine.
Yes.
And they're sitting out there, I'm fine.
That's right.
But I'm not, you know, I'm really pretty shy. So,
yeah, you can tell how shy he really is.
I don't know if I believe that. Well, I like you too, otherwise, forget it. I'm safe with you guys. But otherwise,
I'm so sure. now he's blushing, everyone.
So, what I was going to say now.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I said in my mind, I said, why did I come back as a medium in the public, you know, eye? So the very, very interesting thing happened. I mean, something which it has to be one of the most profound experiences of my life. In that, as we went under, you know, counting backwards, I could see in front of me very clearly my face. And it was me with a mustache. And all I saw was a general's uniform. Oh. And I knew I was a general in a Prussian war, the Civil War, French-American War, the Indian War, wars, all these different wars. And I was always a general. Wow. And it was always my responsibility for telling my men when to go and kill other people.
Whoa.
So I was responsible for killing millions of people from around the world in all these lifetimes. So I came back this lifetime to balance the karma about death, to heal.
Is that wild?
To heal. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
To heal about death. And I had to affect them on a millions of levels, the television, all that, because of the mass amount, because of all those lifetimes where I was responsible. So it's pure balance.
That is amazing.
That isn't amazing.
Because
well,
I thought you were going to tell us that you were a teacher in past life and they were going to continue it.
No, but this was because I was a general.
That is amazing.
It's amazing. It was amazing.
Have you ever been a woman?
I'm sure many times.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure many times.
But all you've ever really been shown
was I was a woman. I mean, one that I remember. Yes,
you was
that was a
woman,
chair. That was my body part.
Yeah. No, because you was a woman. Then when you say mustache, I'm thinking that's not a pretty sight.
Well, it's transsexual. But anyway, no, what happened was.
So that's a balance.
It was a balance
that
thing.
That is amazing, James.
Yeah, it was a balance thing. And then now, you know, it's funny because my partner, my husband.
Yes.
And it's funny, when we first met each other, I had I still have flashes of things. And I had a flash of...
You knew him.
Oh, I've known him many times, but it's one lifetime. I just had a flash. And I was in Paris with him. And I was a prostitute. And I know you find it hard to believe. But I had like silk, like, I don't know, the big old... What do you call them? By the dresses.
Yeah,
the,
sure.
The big skirts. The big, but you know, those big...
Right,
like,
yeah.
And I remember he was in the war. And he was in the war and he was riding a horse. And I was in the city of Paris. And he would come to see me when he was ever able to break free.
Yes.
And I remember sex and the whole thing. And I remember I was in love with him. And I couldn't say anything to him. And he would ride his horse away. And I'd go out to the little balcony. it's so clear, his vision. Open up the French doors, look at the balcony. And while he was running away, and I was like, oh my God, will I ever see him again?
Oh.
And I was in love with him, but yet I couldn't tell him.
Yes.
And then another time, this is really interesting. We did a regression together on one of these trips. And we looked at each other, and it's called faces, this exercise. We look at each other in the semi-dark.
Yes.
And afterwards, you describe what you got for each other.
Yeah.
It was so wild. I said to him, I saw a Chinese monk. I said, what'd you get? He goes, I looked at you, and I saw a Chinese monk.
Oh,
we were monks ago in a lifetime. Isn't that something?
Isn't that lovely?
So many times you have regressions, when groups of regressions. I do that also, do some past life regression work. You'll have groups of people, complete strangers, and all see each other, and they're like Roman soldiers together.
Lovely.
In a past life. And, you know, we think, oh, my God, they just came, you know, is it a coincidence they sat together? There's no coincidence.
And you know what's lovely about past life? Sometimes in reading, they help the person. So they bring information about you did, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Bring information about past life, and the person gets what he's supposed to get.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
exactly.
That's love,
I don't understand why they have problems with money, or why they have problems with their family, their siblings, or their marriages,
amazing,
or whatever it is. And it's really interesting.
So when you, I'm sorry, what's your husband's name?
Brian.
When you saw him, in this lifetime, did you know? Did you?
I mean, there was an attraction the moment I saw him.
Did it take him a while to like you?
Now, this is very interesting, and I'm being very, very, you know, I'm just letting it all out here. Because you won't roll all this on. But
I love this. Yeah. Fabulous.
So what happened was, when I met him, it was, I was giving an invitation to some party in Palm Springs. And I was just, it was just an energy. I looked in his eyes and I said, I love
him. How long ago was this?
15 years ago.
15 years ago.
James. And what happened was, the funny thing was, I was just divorced from a woman, right? We're not fully divorced yet. We're still, waiting to get the final divorce. Which, that was a whole karmic thing with her, by the way. That was all karmic thing I had to do with her. No doubt about it. We met in college. And that was a whole other story. And that was 12 years not talking to each other and not hearing from each other. And I said, the spirit was meant to be, that we're supposed to be together. Please have her call me. And then a week later, she calls me after 12 years out of the clear blue.
Wow.
And she knew about my lifestyle at the time. Yes. And it was like, well, I know love is love is, you know, it was just, it's an amazing thing. Love is just, you cannot put love in a box. Love is just love.
Sure.
You know? So, but the funny thing with Brian, that whole timing thing, I said to him afterwards, I gave him a number and I was living in LA and he was living in Orange County. And I thought, well, this is not geographically desirable. And I didn't know what was going to happen. So, but I ended up talking to him. I said, listen, there are a couple of things I have to tell you. Number one, I'm going to a divorced old woman. And number two, I talk to dead people. And then I thought, if he can survive that, he's in. So, and he did. He survived that. And not only did he survive it, God bless him.
Oh.
But obviously past life connections.
Yes.
And really, he said to me, he had read Ruth Montgomery books from a long time ago.
Oh.
He knew about this work with Edgar Cayce.
Yeah.
He had Shirley MacLaine's books. And, you know, he read all this stuff. So he was very open to it.
Yeah.
So he's a very good soul. Yeah,
yeah,
very good soul.
That's lovely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great story. So is he here tonight? Or?
No, he's taking care of our baby.
Lovely. Oh, you have a little baby.
We have a little baby.
What is it? It's got to be...
Rhinoceros.
Yes, it's a four-legged.
I'm wondering if it's his... Mickey has an animal rescue.
Oh, gee, of course you do. Of course you do. How would you not?
We rescue horses that are being killed. So.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. And dogs that are disabled.
Well, you know, I work with Voices for the Animals.
Amazing. Really?
Voices for the Animals. Just the other night we did a benefit, Voices for the Animals.
James, animals, people say, you held for money, Mickey, maybe sell one of the horses. I said, then you don't know me.
Let me see. Oh, so cute.
That's cute.
That's him. That's Boo. We're showing the dog.
What's his name?
Boo Radley.
Did you rescue?
Yes, Boo Radley.
Rescue.
Good for you. Good for you, dear.
To Kill a Mockingbird. And that's Brian.
That I don't know. Let me see your husband.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, lovely. James,
you
got it going.
Yeah, you got it going.
He is.
Sweetheart, right?
So how long have you, so you've been together for the 15 years?
15 years, and 15 years. We got married last year when it was legal in California.
Excellent.
Which is retarded. That's not it. That whole thing was so ridiculous. That whole
marriage
thing.
So what happens, now are you still married? No, it's kind of off track, but how does the law work with that? Anyone who got married?
A certain amount of time, got married before that November, then they're legally still married.
Gotcha.
It's so ridiculous. It is so.
And you know, James, to touch real quick the homosexuality part from a spiritual point of view, it's really important to spirits to say those are the bravest souls. You come here to harsh planet Earth. I have a
harsh planet Earth. I love
really
the way she speaks.
Do you know what I mean, dear?
Harsh. I know, dear.
She's so hard not to love, isn't she?
Yeah, adorable.
So, I mean, really, homosexuality is a preference of the soul to come and learn lessons.
Of course.
And all the judgmental, it's really hard for me.
Mickey has a sister who is gay, which is
gay with twins. Israel, to a Jewish mom, and then
tough,
you can
that's
imagine.
Tough, that's tough. That's tough.
So they've raised a medium and a lesbian.
Yeah,
that's hysterical. Oh my God. Yeah. So it's teaching other people too.
Absolutely.
It's teaching them. It's difficult, but you know you have to teach people and. I don't know. It's just getting people away from the labels and limitations.
Oh, very hard.
You know, limitations and fear. And it's like, come on. Like, you know, love is love is love. Stop putting it in boxes. Just like religion. It's the same thing.
Stop putting
it in religion.
That's right.
Just love people who they are. Stop judging people. Just be who they are.
Sure.
And then learning lessons from it, whether it's gay, straight. You know, funny, I go to Brazil a lot, and there's no such thing as sexual, like gay, straight. People are just sexual. Yeah. Really?
Well,
really?
They are like that in Tahiti, too.
Have you ever been? The world are like that. Oh, yeah, I've been to Tahiti many times, honey.
Tahiti and here, got the strangest sexual.
In America,
history.
It's so backwards.
Yeah,
it really is. It really is.
It really is. It really is.
Well, in most countries, I mean, I don't know if most, but some European countries, it's okay to have a mistress or somebody else that in here, it's just not.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
In Roman days, they used to take young men. The men used to have little boys, young boys, 14, 15, whatever it was. Teach them into manhood. That was accepted in that society. That was the way it was in Greek society as well.
Yes.
I don't know. Just it is what it is.
James, what do you think about, because I have a lot of clients that come to me and had bad experience with fraud mediums. How does someone can do that? I mean, how rotten is that?
Nikki, you're asking me.
I
think about it. I know, because I mean, there are people out there that are like that. And I'm not going to name names, but some people in the public figure that people know, it's like, I don't know. I don't know how they could. Because
and then that's when Lisa said it's in every industry. But
it's in every industry. But if someone has a consciousness, an awareness, let's say, of karma, just karma, of what you give out, you're going to get back.
Sure.
And when you do this type of work, you have people's lives in your hands. You know, it's like being a doctor. I mean, it's like you have people's lives in your hands.
Sure.
And you've got to respect that. It's a responsibility.
Sure.
And as in every industry, there are people that are irresponsible.
Mm.
But I don't know, for me, you know, and you too, I'm sure, Mickey, that it, you know, when you see people who are abusing the abilities, I don't know what it is about. I mean,
to have the gift, as I like to call it, that really it's in everyone, because, you know, I did not born a medium. I taught myself through hard work.
Everyone's mediumistic.
A difference,
right.
Yeah. And really, that's a great honor. So if you have fraud, it's disrespect to spirits.
Oh, it's just,
I mean,
it's
think,
just,
and
think
the
of the karma.
Physical, God.
The karma. And not only one lifetime will it affect, maybe it'll affect other lifetimes. And people don't realize this with karma also.
Mm.
People think it's what you get, you know, you're going to get back what you give out right away. It's going to happen to you. It doesn't necessarily only happen to you. It can happen to your family. It can happen generations back.
God.
It can happen to next generations you're affecting your kids. I mean, that's what's, people don't realize it affects everybody.
Mm.
You know, we're all connected. We're all, you know.
So you make a mistake in this lifetime and you know you've made a mistake and you know it could come back at you or your family in future lives. Do you have an opportunity in this lifetime then to be able to fix it?
Sure. We'll do that tonight.
Oh, really?
So what it is, there's always a way of being aware. So if you become mindful, and it's something I believe you have to practice because it's not easy to be mindful every day.
Sure.
But once you put it into practice, a discipline where you become mindful, and when I say mindful, being aware of what you're thinking, what you're saying and what you're feeling and what you're sending out. And being mindful of it, you have to be responsible for your thoughts, words, and deeds. You have to be.
Sure.
And so, like, when you give someone that gift, and part of the reason I like to do these lectures and these workshops, is I do see above people's heads sometimes a light bulb go off. When you say certain words, and tonight you'll see it, you say certain things and they go, boom, it opens them right up. Like, oh, wow, now I get it. It forces them to think, well, now I'm responsible. I'll talk about something tonight, which about you'll have to remind me about this.
Okay.
If I forget, you'll have to tell me.
Write it on my hand like Sarah Palin.
Past life review.
Oh, yes, of course.
So please let me talk about that tonight when you're at the thing.
Lovely.
Because I got to talk about that. Because that will change. That'll change people.
Lovely.
If they're ready for it. If they're ready to listen for it. If they're ready to receive it.
You know what I like to say as well, James, in my lectures is I like to start by saying everything I say you already know.
That's right.
We forgot.
That's
it's
right.
Spiritual amnesia, as you
That's
heard
right.
me say before. It just, but it would bring their memory. Oh.
That's
so
right.
I say, just listen, open your mind. But it is, because it's all we all want. This is not cliche. We are all
one. I say, Mickey, it's very similar in that I say that all I do is I'm a mirror. I'm a reflection to you.
Oh.
So what I'm bringing through is just what you already know inside your heart and
That's
your soul.
Right.
You already know this information. It's just acknowledging
That's
it
right.
and remembering it.
That's
I'm helping
right.
you to remember.
Sure.
That's what it is.
Most people, I know when they go and see Mickey, they leave, and I know I felt the same way the first time, was I felt euphoric. There was just this sense of, but also a lot to contemplate. It was like, yes.
That's right.
I tell people, it's the opposite of going to a counselor. When you go to a counselor, you do all the talking, and they just listen and nod their head.
Right.
When you go see Mickey or someone like yourself, that you just sit there and listen, and you can. I've seen so many people go in there and have closure.
That's right.
From years of counseling, because now all of a sudden everything they wanted to close the
That's
doors
right.
to, their spirit is now speaking to, and now they're able to say, oh my gosh, I've done the right thing. I'm moving in that direction.
The therapists, they're losing money with Lisa because she keeps saying, don't go to therapist anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah. I say, don't go to therapy, go see Mickey.
It's true because, you know, one lady said to me years and years ago, she said to me, James, I want to tell you something. So yes. She goes, 1 hour with you is like 12 years of a therapist.
Yes.
That's true. It gets amazing. Right to the point, doesn't
yes,
it? It gets right it to the heart of it at all.
Yes, it's quite lovely.
Well, it's fascinating. I know when I was talking to Mickey about you, she just instantly said, he is the real deal.
I wouldn't come if you would not the real deal. Okay. I wouldn't. Right. I mean, you're really lovely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Mickey. Thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, this has been wonderful. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to turn off the microphone, but we're going to continue to sit and visit with you for a few minutes.
Okay, very good. Right.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Joe Ford of Ambrosia.
Hi, it's Jenna Elfman.
Hey, it's David Maldonado.
Are you ready to party?
Yeah!
This party's just getting started!
Hey, this is Tony Lucero, the Comedy Stage Hypnotist.
Hey, this is Lennon Parham, and you're listening to Only 2 Degrees. Let's roll! Party time!